Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Vibing here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach is just boogieing over there. That's Zach
Jones. I watched
Jones.
The GTA 6 trailer.
That's
like
Zach Jones.
Times.
I'm Derek Kramer. We're in for Sal for today. And again, just looks so nice out there that the energy we wanted to put into it is let's have ourselves a great weekend. And let's set the tone, you know? And you got to complaining about numbers, and I'm like, nah, let's put you down.
I had a good time about it.
We did have fun
I
with it.
I had a very good time.
We had
about
fun
it.
With it. And I hope you've been having fun with us so far as well. You know what else has been bleeping fun? Watching the Stanley Cup playoffs. I, as someone that hated the matchup 2 years ago between Florida and Vegas, am relishing that these two teams are currently getting the brakes beaten off of them. Both down 2-0 in their series.
Yeah, they're not having great times.
To Toronto, of all teams, and Edmonton, respectively. I am so excited that Vegas is again complaining about a blatant cross-check.
It's kind of fun.
It's so fun.
I'm sorry,
Golden Child. You don't get everything when you cross-check somebody in the face. I'm sorry that you can't do that. Also, what was Nicolas Roy even thinking?
Yeah.
If he's even trying to say, I was trying to bat the puck, you know what's an easier way to do that? Not with a cross check. Like,
I have enjoyed, and I still do,
so dumb.
The villain era of Golden State, the Golden Knights. Like, I really enjoyed it. But there is something to, like, but I want to watch them lose in, like, embarrassing fashion. Now, they're not getting blown out by Edmonton. Last night was an overtime winner, what have you. But, like, even, like, for me, like, I don't really have any ill will anymore towards Jack Eichel. I've moved on. Like, it's been enough time. But watching a Vegas player get fooled on an overtime winner was enjoyable. It has become enjoyable. But overall, the NHL playoffs, and we'll get to the NBA as well, they've just been great games. The series might be 2-0, but they're competitive to the end, and you're watching teams like Edmonton have to scrape and claw to get to their 2-0 series lead. Toronto struggled with Ottawa in round one. It yeah. looked like normal Toronto of, guys, you really can't put them away. And now here they are against Florida, a team that I would imagine, if we may be outright said it, we expected Florida to beat them. Just, it's Toronto. This is what's going to happen. They didn't look great against Ottawa.
That said, Florida's got the next two at home, so let's see what really happens here.
Let's see.
It could even up very realistically.
But you even to for 2-2. But even for Toronto, I mean, we've talked a lot of Mitch Marner, obviously with him if potentially
you,
hitting
if you
the
come
open
away
market.
With one win though, in the
you
next
feel good.
Two,
yeah,
you feel a lot better about 3-1.
Oh yeah,
than you would about 2-2.
Yeah,
heading back home.
It's the same thing with the Knicks right now. You got two in Boston. You just get one in New York to make it 3-1. You feel great. But like it for Toronto, it's guys like Mitch Marner.
Yep.
Who, I mean, we talked about his playoff stats. They were awful. And he was not a good playoff player. And now he's really putting it together. Is he all world? No. But he's performing.
Yep.
He's performing really well. Matthews seems to be the only one that still kind of just can't do it. But
which is
they look really,
really
good. And it's just – there's so many good series going on right now. Tonight, I'm very excited for Dallas-Winnipeg, game two tonight. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be fun. Game three, Toronto and Florida's tonight at 7. Jets-Stars is 9:30.
You mentioned someone that's had playoff struggles, Connor Hellebuck.
Hellebuck
needs to get things in order if Winnipeg is going to go on a deeper run here, because you could get away with it against the Blues. You're not getting away with it against, apparently, the newest god of hockey,
by the
Mikko
way,
Rantanen.
Hellebuck barely got away with it.
Yeah.
Against the Blues. And yeah, Mikko Rantanen, what is it, two straight hat tricks?
Two straight hat tricks.
I mean,
in back-to-back games.
What an addition for the Stars.
It is
what
kind
an
of,
addition.
It is kind of nasty to see how he got traded twice, and both times were for sizable returns.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still proving it all right. Like, hey, I want that $14 million a year. Carolina's not going to be able to do this, and they're going to ship him off. Dallas is going to do it.
He has not had under 3 points in the last four games.
I don't understand what's up with him, but it is great for Dallas in their run, which disgusts me because I hate them as a franchise still. Jeremy and Nate said something this morning that was very interesting about a team comparable, a hockey comparable for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And they mentioned Carolina.
Okay.
And Jeremy did say, prefaced it by saying, it's gross for me to say this.
Yeah.
Like, I feel gross saying it. And I do like that. I respect that because I would feel the same way. I'm going to give a different take to it. So he says that Carolina, so the Hurricanes, are kind of the NHL equivalent of the Bills. They make a deep run into their own conference, but they never get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it's Toronto. The Leafs and the Bills have very similar parallels because they cannot get themselves out of a certain spot. And they have a superstar that is recognizable across all NHL circles in Austin Matthews. So it's interesting. And I also think that outside of a natural hatred that some Sabres fans would harbor towards Toronto,
mm-hmm.
I am really going to wonder if Toronto makes a Stanley Cup, just how many eyes are going to be on that series.
I was going to ask that. How good of a story do you think it is for the NHL if, say, Toronto, I'm not even saying wins the Cup, but makes the Cup final?
First of all, that is something exclusive to their franchise. They will have already done something they've never done in their entire franchise's history. And you know what that is? If they get to the Stanley Cup, they will have had to have won three playoff series for the first time ever.
I think we talked about that with, I want to say, Matt Larkin a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Ever.
They have never, as a franchise, won more than two playoff series. And before 19, when was the expansion? But they've never had to.
Mm-hmm.
When they won their cups, they only had to win two series to do so.
Yeah.
The minute it got to three or four, they've not even won three. And I'm very open and receptive to the idea of them making the Cup final. And the reason is, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
I do not need to see the Florida Panthers and Sam Bennett scum his way to not getting called for anything. I don't need Matthew Tkachuk turtling the minute that he goes ahead and punches someone in the kidney. I don't need to see the Florida Panthers continue their usual brand of garbage and make it to another Stanley Cup final. I do not need that in my life anymore. I don't need to see the Vegas Golden Knights whine and complain and then celebrate like they don't, like they've known hardship when they've missed the playoffs one time in their entire lives.
And they regularly make deep playoff runs.
Like they regularly make deep playoff runs.
It's not even like you make the playoffs losing round
one. And then the minute that they don't, they complain about the referees.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to existing in sports, you newbies.
Well, I mean, yeah, they are.
I don't need.
Still kind of a fresh face, yeah.
Hell, I don't need the Dallas Stars right now, honestly. Give me Winnipeg.
I mean, you know how I feel about Winnipeg. Like, yes. I always kind of pick a team that I kind of want to follow. Winnipeg for the last few years, I love the look of their home arena for the playoffs.
Edmonton's my exception, I think, because, you know, obviously last year's Western Conference champions, they almost win the Stanley Cup, and you want to see if Connor McDavid can help will his team to a Stanley Cup and a championship. And you can tell how impactful he truly is, not just on the ice, but with his teammates, because that McDavid to Draisaitl pass, Draisaitl scores the overtime winner last night. And the team goes off into two little celebration pools at first. One for the actual goal scorer, who teams usually are supposed to flood, in Draisaitl. But half of them end up at the boards over near Connor on the other side.
It is funny to watch.
It's funny.
It is really funny to watch.
He absolutely made poor Jack... I can't believe I'm saying it like this. Poor Jack Eichel got shook by full-speed Connor McDavid.
That could have been
so
any,
bad.
That could have been any Vegas player. I would have laughed. That was so much fun.
So bad that I say, poor Jack Eichel.
Oh man, so much fun.
Mostly because, man, that's just, nobody's stopping him. Mm-hmm. The only player that's probably stopping him is prime Scott Stevens, and he does it illegally.
Yeah, did it. I mean,
like, the elbow is going to the head of McDavid, and like that's the only way you're defending it. But there's a celebration. One with Draisaitl, one with McDavid. On the other ends of the ice, and then it's Draisaitl's group that has to congregate on the other side.
Yeah,
it's not flooding toward Draisaitl.
That's
it's
my favorite part. Is that they're like, oh, we got to go over there. It's like, wait, what?
Because he made such a special play, but he doesn't score the goal. So that, like, it was a little weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But that tells you the respect that he has of his team.
I mean, he should have that kind.
He should have that respect, obviously. But like, to see something so funny, not necessarily like a bad unconventional, but like, you know, it's weird. It's worth pointing out.
I think it's also worth pointing out. So you bring up that goal. Edmonton scored 5 last night. That's the only goal Leon and McDavid are a part of. And so like there's always something interesting to watch with the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, last year was not their depth.
With these guys is because, like you said, last year it was McDavid and Draisaitl having historic playoff runs and willing that team into the Stanley Cup Finals and then willing them into a Game 7. This year, I don't want to, you know, say that, oh my gosh, look at the depth. But it is something to bring up that, like, in a series with a Vegas team, yes, ultimately they are a part of the win, but to get that game to overtime, Connor and Draisaitl ultimately don't do anything on the score sheet. I don't want to say they didn't do anything, but they don't do anything on the score sheet. And that is just something you don't often see with these Oiler teams. It's just not. Now, you brought up Cam Hellebuck as well. I heard Owen on the morning show bringing up the idea that Hellebuck changed his pads. And that was like this like stunning thing to do, which it, as somebody that was a little bit of a superstitious athlete, I also didn't have a ton of equipment necessarily to like change out goalies. I know that's the thing.
Pads also could be how you feel. Like,
yeah.
You feel.
But I'm like, I feel like Hellebuck had to do anything. He had to do just something.
You got to do something.
Winnipeg is a very, very good team, but there's a reason he is one of the 3 finalists for the Hart Trophy. He is kind of the reason why they're here, why they won their first ever President's Trophy. And he's got to do something.
He's got to do something in this postseason.
And that's a big reason why like I'm so fascinated by tonight's game.
By the way, just to circle back to McDavid real quick, just how unconscious last year's postseason run was for him with that 42 points. He's doing his standard affair now.
Yeah.
2 goals, 12 assists, 14 points in 8 games.
It's so absurd.
And yet that's nothing doesn't hold a candle to last year's performance.
Last year last year was special. I that's one of my favorite sports memories of the last like 5-6 years was watching Edmonton come alive to force a game seven. That was a blast. I couldn't wait for game seven. It was a heartbreaking end to watch Edmonton have no legs left with the seconds ticking down. It was just like, this is heartbreaking. Like, this is mm-hmm. hard to watch. But yeah, for Winnipeg especially, Hellebuck, you want him to get right. You want him to just have like a great game. Just to make you feel like he can do it. Because right now, it almost feels like Winnipeg has to win in spite of him, which as Sabres fans, we know that's hard to do, to win in spite of a bad goalie.
Yeah.
And then the other big playoff story, at least for me, has been Mikko Rantanen for Dallas. I've mentioned the last four games he has not had under 3 points. The man is on a warpath, it feels like.
For me, the other playoff story I want to really be invested in here is about Washington and how they're going to keep going, if they're going to keep going.
Yeah, funny enough, it's a series I haven't – I mean, I watched last night's game, but it's a series – while I was talking about it a lot before the playoffs started, I'm like, ooh, like Ovechkin, like are we going to have like another storybook moment for him? It's like maybe the least interested I've been in the series for
a round
two.
It's the least interesting series, I think.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Like, cause I feel bad that I'm not interested because I was paying attention to Washington a lot going in. But then once they got to round two, I was like, okay, you guys have fun. I'm more excited about these guys over here.
It's because there are star players that have storylines to get through.
Yeah.
The Oilers. Can McDavid and Draisaitl get there again and try to one-up what they did last year, which mm-hmm. is – win that cup that just eluded them. The Jets. Can Connor Hellebuck stop pulling this playoff Kershaw run that he's on? Please.
It's rough, man.
Toronto. Can they actually win a second series? And that's more about a team
mm-hmm.
and its core than about like any one-star player. And then Washington is a team that a lot of people have written off.
People were ready to write them off before the playoffs even got started.
Yeah, it was kind of you'll beat Montreal, but that's pretty much as far as they're going to go. They tie up the series last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the only series that has the series even. There's only been one game played between the Jets and Stars, but I digress. I'm thoroughly enjoying that there are different stories for the most part this year right now.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, your two conference champions and cup finalists from last year are still very much – they're here.
Mm-hmm.
They're also down 2-0. And those are – I mean, excuse me. One of them is down 2-0. The other's up 2-0. But it still seems like there are different storylines that make things better. And for me, honestly, it's you get the Panthers – there are too many teams in this bracket that I hate. There's one in each series.
I was going to say, yeah, you're really not enjoying some of these teams. Like you got a select few you like.
No. The haterade is strong because within these series in the second round, there is a team in every series that I cannot stand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right now, with Toronto and Florida, it's not the Leafs. It's the Panthers. I have a legitimate problem with them.
Yeah. I love Sam Bennett, though. I want him on the Sabres bad.
At this point, I don't want to deal with the headache.
He's exactly who they need.
He is exactly who they need, but I don't want to deal with the headache of Sam Bennett in particular.
I'll deal with it.
Carolina.
Yeah.
Still dirty.
Still dirty.
Still gross.
You know what, too, though?
And let it go. No.
I also imagine, though, there's a lot of NFL fans that feel the same way. Either get it done or go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I'm at the go away, and it doesn't help either that there was already past feelings towards that. But I guarantee there's probably like an AFC South fan that's like, I'm so done with the Bills.
Yeah,
like,
I'm so
done with the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Like, they're the reason the Chiefs are always there because they can't get it done. There's probably that feeling about Carolina of like, oh my gosh, come on. Like, figure it out.
Can you actually do this? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Vegas.
Yep.
Because every time they don't make a deep playoff run, they go crying. Well, like, it's the worst thing that's happened to them. And mostly because it probably is, actually, yes. It's actually the worst thing that's happened to their franchise. The world's smallest violins play everywhere.
Oh, man.
And then Dallas. Let it go? No.
I
want to like Dallas.
Yeah.
But I also think their uniforms are a huge downgrade from what they had.
I like the uniforms. They are a super likable team.
If I guess it's the logo.
If it weren't for the history, I would really like the Stars.
Yes, I want to like the Stars because Jason Robertson is a great player.
I love Ottinger.
I really
like him. He has put Dallas on his back a number of times in the playoffs, so it's not really the Hellebuck situation. Mikko Rantanen, that's just fun. He leads the playoffs in scoring.
It is
so
getting
far.
Absurd with Rantanen right now.
They're a good team. They're just a really good, fun watch.
But yeah, like there's just too much about the Stars that I can't let go of, and that's a me problem.
It's fair.
But also, having a team to hate in every series does put a little bit more passion into it.
It puts a little juice into it, and on that...
But with how annoying Florida's been that I'm favoring Toronto over you...
Oh, right, yeah. It has to get to a certain level.
Yeah, it's the disdain of, like... He's not on this team anymore, but like Nick Cousins for the last 2 years with Florida was one of the worst people. Oh, by the way, I mentioned Bennett and Tkachuk. They added Marshawn. That's a player I like cheering for, right?
I forgot about Marshawn until you mentioned that. I haven't really thought about him at all.
That's because it feels wrong that he's in Florida and not Boston.
He's Boston. He's Boston through and through.
He is Boston through and through, and he's playing in Florida because the Bruins decided, let's make Florida more unlikable.
Yeah. On Boston, I want to hit this real quick before we take our next time out.
The hell out of here.
Because I've also enjoyed the NBA playoffs. I've been bouncing back and forth every night to a Stanley Cup playoff game, an NBA playoff game. I think I've enjoyed the NBA playoffs more, but I think it's because I have more players that I like rooting for. Like for me, I am somebody I have to have somewhat of a rooting interest in a sports team to get behind them. I can't just like them because their uniforms are cool or like, oh, I hate this team, so I'm going to go with them. I can't. Like for me, like Pacers, Cleveland, I'll watch. It's exciting. I don't really have a rooting interest. Whoever wins, wins.
And yet, right now, that's turning into an interesting story.
It's an absolutely interesting story. With how injured Cleveland is, can they pull it together or has Indiana already put them in a hole? Which
down to
history would tell you they have. The other 2-0 series, and the rooting interest I have, is New York. I'm a Knicks fan in the sense of I can watch their games fairly easy on TV. It's never been that hard. I don't hate the organization. They've never been that New York team that I'm like, ugh, like enough. I know they get talked a lot about on TV, but they've got a pretty rough history as well of just like bad playoff series, huge misses, kicked around a lot. The owner's a bit of a nightmare. But also, to those that have listened to me a lot, I'm a massive college basketball fan, particularly the Big East. Mm-hmm. Again, very easy for me to watch when I was growing up, still is, and so that I kind of fell in love with the league. And while I was never a Villanova fan, I am somebody, if my favorite team in the Big East is out, I will then root for the Big East teams to go far. Nova went far a lot, and I knew a lot of these players, and I liked a lot of these players. And to watch guys like Jalen Brunson ascend to a stardom in New York that has led him to have one of his nicknames being the King of New York, and for there to be a genuine feeling that he might be even outside of New York, one of the most beloved players in his sport, which is sometimes strange because of the New York, I guess, kind of aura about them. You usually don't like them unless you're a fan of them. They're such a scrappy, fun team. There is that Villanova way. They play defense. They'll take charges. They're going to drive in to score. Yeah, they shoot threes, yes, and they do it very well, but they're going to drive in. They're going to play defense. And I listened to Colin Coward and Nick Wright talk yesterday on Colin Coward's podcast, and I think he said it on his show. Colin Coward said it on his show as well. It was kind of fun to see like the math nerd that is the Boston Celtics get beat up a little bit. You know, for lack of a better kind of way to put it, you know, they're the analytical till we die kind of vibe of a team of we're just going to keep chucking up threes. It eventually will work for us. We're talented. It's going to work. And for two games, it hasn't. And it's been fun to watch them go 25 of 100 from three. And there is also a point, too, of watching, a good team typically ends up becoming a bully. You know, every AFC East fan base would say right now the Buffalo Bills are the bully. That's what happens. But it is funny to watch an arrogant bully get embarrassed. It is for everybody. Yeah.
How great it was for the Bills to take the division.
Yes,
oh, my
exactly.
God. Across the league.
And the Celtics have that aura already about them. And this team and me and Joe DiBiase got into it with some listeners, a few days ago about Tatum. Like, he's a weaker superstar. He's a very good player, no doubt. But he shies away from the big moments. And he loves to shoot threes, even if, like, dude, you're 6'8", drive in. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a mismatch there. And it's just – that's been a lot of fun. I wish Steph Curry wasn't hurt for the Warriors because last night's game should have been a lot closer between them and Minnesota. I like Anthony Edwards. Wish he would score more. That the last three games for him has been kind of tough, but defensively he's still a great player. He's a very old school player. I think there, and I've been meaning to say this, there is a generation of fans who have stopped watching the NBA, and I can understand why. The game has changed to a point where you don't like what you see. I can completely understand that. Anthony Edwards is sort of that love letter to a bygone era. He is chirping constantly. He plays hard defense. He's the kind of guy, I don't think he really does it all often, but he's the kind of guy that's slapping the floor on defense, getting ready. Again, he makes villains of everybody. Everyone's a target for his trash talking. He literally doesn't care if you're LeBron James or a random guy in a 10-day contract. He will chirp you the exact same way, and it is awesome. He's athletic. He's funny.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share, and that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
The whole thing, like, he is a kind of guy, if he can just win a championship,
yep,
he's the face of the league kind of deal. He's a if you're somebody that misses defense in the league, number one, watch the current NBA playoffs. They're calling nothing, but also specifically watch Anthony Edwards. He's kind of the guy you'll love, but also this Knicks team, because they're not more talented than the Celtics. They're not, but they are playing so hard and so aggressive. And they got maybe a belief now. I think the same thing with Toronto. Toronto kind of had, I think after game two win, has a belief of this year's different. The years past demons don't matter. The Knicks couldn't beat any good team. They were 0-10 against the top teams in the East. They struggled against Detroit. A young Pistons team that has been essentially Cade Cunningham and a bunch of dudes. And yet they've taken two games in Boston. One in overtime. And then one last second great defensive play by Mikal Bridges. It's
not
it's
just
must
taking
watch
two
TV.
Games. The Celtics have choked.
Oh
both
yeah,
of those ugly
20
it's
point
not
comebacks.
Good.
Both of them.
Yeah,
incredible TV.
You can't have that back to back and expect to survive the rest of the postseason.
803-0550, the number two call. Having a little bit of fun talking the playoffs here. Also, of course, we were talking Bills training camp, rookie camp heroes. If you've got any names to bring up, Rod Streeter's been brought up. That brought back some memories. But before we hit our next timeout, get her the ultimate pass to relaxation, renewal, and pure self-care bliss for Mother's Day with our Odyssey self-care passport. Enjoy 13 incredible experiences at select spas, gyms, and wellness centers valued at over $1,400. Over 70% savings at $375. Visit getmyperks.com to get yours while supplies last. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR.
Two sources at the University of North Carolina tell me that there has been a decision. It was made last week by the higher-ups inside the athletic department that had hired Bill Belichick to be the highest-paid public employee, not just coach, in the state of North Carolina at $10 million a year. And that decision was that Jordan Hudson is no longer allowed in the football building. She is not allowed on the football field. Quote, don't think you'll be hearing much from Jordan moving forward.
That was on Pablo Torre's show. Sadly, North Carolina says Jordan Hudson is still welcome in UNC's football facilities, despite obviously reports that she was banned. Quote, while Jordan Hudson is not an employee at the university or Carolina Athletics, she is welcome to the Carolina football facilities. Derek?
Yes.
A generational Hard Knocks was taken away from us. If you remember, a few months ago, it was reported because Hard Knocks has been struggling to find a quote-unquote off-season Hard Knocks after
right.
the generational run by the Giants last year.
Yeah.
And how much of a, while I enjoyed it, and I think fans enjoyed it, it was not a good look for the current Giants regime. There's been a struggle to find, like, okay, how are we gonna fill that slot? There was an initial report that North Carolina was going to do it with Bill Belichick as their head coach, the whole thing. And it made sense to me at the time. It was, well, Bill's trying to build up the Carolina brand. They've got a recruiting hotbed, but North Carolina has not typically been great at college football. I think they have like one ACC championship back in 1980, and that's really about it. They're not bad by any means, but they're not great. Mack Brown had a real tough time winning there, and that's why they've ultimately gone to Bill Belichick. So it made sense to me. However, everything involving Bill Belichick and his girlfriend has been weird and very just uncomfortable. I'm laughing about it, but it's an uncomfortable laugh of just like, this is a really weird situation.
And so Pablo Torre was obviously the one that we brought that sound in with. And I do think that he does bring up an interesting point of like, if there is an opportunity to try to help save your legacy a little bit, you want to make sure that you get things back on track. Because nobody is going to remember what you're doing as Bill Belichick if, for some reason, like these stories are continuing to be more of what people are going to remember him for.
Yeah, like if this becomes the headline, and it's partially because, like, you know, the longer you go in the public spotlight, the more risk you have of putting your legacy in harm's way. Actor, entertainer, athlete, you know, what have you? Any. Thing that is has a big public, you know, footprint. But yeah, like he has not coached a game yet at North Carolina, and I've got to imagine the university is not thrilled with the fact that every headline with Bill Belichick is not, oh, this amazing recruit is coming to Chapel Hill, this transfer target. No, it's, hey, did you see this weird interview on CBS Sunday Morning between Bill Belichick and his girlfriend Jordan Hudson? Did you see that? You should watch the clip. It's super uncomfortable.
By the way, it wasn't Torre. It was he sourced a family member.
Okay.
There's deep worry about how detrimental Jordan can be for not just North Carolina, but for Bill's legacy, reputation, and everything that he's built and worked over for decades.
Because for a lot of people, the thing they will most remember is the last thing you did.
What have you done for me lately?
What have you done for me lately? Like, he has all the Super Bowl wins. He has all of that and everything like that. But if this is a tire fire in North Carolina, and part of it is because of his personal life, something that he's never really been open about.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Then all of a sudden, a lot of people will be like, yeah, great coach. That was weird at the end, wasn't it? That was really awful at the end, wasn't
it? It was a really weird crash out for him at the end, yeah.
And for a lot of people, even when you have a great career in anything, but the ending is bad, a lot of people will just bring it up because that's the first thing they remember. Peyton Manning, wonderful career, gets two Super Bowls. But most of the time when you talk about Peyton Manning, people will eventually acknowledge that the second Super Bowl, he was very much a passenger and not in the passenger seat. That man was in the back hanging out on his Game Boy. Like that's what Peyton Manning did. And a lot of people bring it up that way. It's not going to tarnish Bill's legacy unless something horrific comes out about this, which that does not, I think, appear to be the case. But it will be this uncomfortable thing, especially if they don't win at Carolina, that a lot of people will be like, okay, that was strange.
People will then point to, well, this is why nobody in the NFL wanted to hire you to break the wins
record. Yeah, 100%. That'll be brought up a lot, too. Well, I mean, could you imagine an NFL team having to deal with this? North Carolina brought in Bill Belichick to bring in a name to put their football program on the map in an ACC that is ever-changing. And an ACC, by the way, that is not dominated like it was 5-6 years ago. Now, Clemson's still a very good program. It's not the Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson Clemson where it was like, oh, they're blowing out Alabama in a national championship. It's not that.
Yeah.
Even Miami last year with Cam Ward being the number one overall pick, lost a number of games. They never looked like a team that was going to win a national championship. So Carolina, with getting Bill Belichick, feels like in 2 years, they could be on the mountaintop of the ACC. He hasn't coached a game yet, and that already feels like it is not going
to
happen.
Yeah, it's starting to become this weird stories about him, or the things that we're talking about Bill Belichick have little to none to do about football anymore. And that's the part that is really, I don't want to call it worrisome, but definitely weird. So much so that I don't know how much else I don't know what else I can say about this. Other than, I guess, we'll see what happens. It's pretty much turned into like this, well, all right, sure, whatever happens.
I'm so upset we're missing out on this Hard Knocks. Could you imagine? I think that's why North Carolina probably pulled the plug, honestly. Internally, the AD, the school, the president, the whole thing, we're just being like, this cannot be how we're going to start the Bill Belichick era. And ultimately, it's still come out. There have still been these uncomfortable, the CBS interview, the whole thing, and all these stories. But you got to wonder, because it's come off like his girlfriend, Jordan Hudson, appears to be more like his publicist, his PR person, what have you. Like, she does kind of give off the vibe that she's more his assistant, that they're like, we cannot put this on camera. Like, this cannot be how we're presenting the university before Bill even coaches a game. We cannot do it.
Yeah,
and I'm upset as a fan because I would have watched every moment of that. It's why I watched the offseason one with the Giants. It's the uncomfortableness. It's you're watching teams that are making decisions that could be terrible, but they all have deep convictions about them. They have to in these jobs. And I complained a little bit about that before the draft with Brandon Bean. Like, I just take a guy. And they seem to have done that. Watching the Bills embedded, they were a big fan of Harrison. TJ Sanders was in the conversation for them at 30. If Harrison was gone, they make a big trade up. Like, that's what I'm talking about. But you saw that with Joe Shane last year in the offseason Hard Knocks. For better or worse, he had convictions. They were going to do what they were going to do, and they were going to deal with the consequences afterwards. But when it doesn't work out,
it looks awful.
It looks awful. And could you imagine Belichick, first year in college, what's he doing? How's he dealing with that? There probably are some stumbles here and there. No fault to anybody. You take any kind of big college job, there probably is that, even the successful ones.
Yeah.
But then you add in the 24-year-old girlfriend who might be his publicist or whatever that role is, and kind of the weird interactions that are going on there, and how much can North Carolina really pull back? Because you already saw awkward moments happen for the Giants. It didn't matter. It happens. It still is going to happen. I think it was probably a smart move for them to be like, actually, you know what? Never mind. We're good.
Yeah. And again, it's getting to a point where there's this stories about Belichick that just, they don't have anything to do with football.
Yeah, absolutely,
and
nothing.
That is not good. And honestly, that's why a team, a university, anything will shut things down, is we can't let this story be bigger than the story we're trying to tell, which is about the football team.
Yep. 803-0550, the number two call. Going to take a quick time out here, get you ready for Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here to get ready for Sabres Live coming up at 12 o'clock. Join us at Par for a Purpose on May 19th and play a foursome at the Double Black Diamond Golf Course. A majority of the proceeds will benefit the 11-day Power Play. Registration includes lunch, dinner, 2 drink tickets, green fees, cart, and prizes. Visit WGR550/events.com to register now, courtesy of Ellicottville Chamber of Commerce and Labatt. Derek, real quick, want to bring this up here.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Because we haven't really gotten to mention it. Gabe Davis, released yes. by the Jacksonville Jaguars. I know there's a little bit of hoopla on it, should the Bills go sign him back? It could be league minimum. It's never bad to have competition. I agree with all that. Where do you sit with the idea of if the Bills bringing Gabe Davis back? If they do it, whatever, what have you.
If they do it, I think so. Too many fans have trauma over his final season here, where he would alternate games where he legitimately had donuts on his stat line.
And I would argue I'm one of them, yep.
But you have to remember, that was him being the number two option. Bringing him back now, the depth chart looks different for you.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe Davis is not set up to be the number two option on this squad. He's probably more comfortably a four or five.
And probably with a very singular role.
When did we remember Gabe Davis being awesome? It was as a fourth option, fifth option kind of depth player that was just trying to come into his own on the roster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. People are so mad about him that they want to eschew all logic because the rage is there. No, it's remarkably simple. If the Bills were to bring Gabe Davis back, he is not getting automatically thrown into wide receiver two again.
Mm-hmm.
And even if he does end up like playing primarily like the primary snaps on the outside, where you'd have to contend with Palmer, he'd have to contend with Coleman, and he's not getting the slot.
No,
Shakir's got that.
Right.
Samuel's probably his second option. So that means you're getting limited snaps, limited impacts, but that's also where Gabe Davis was at his best.
Yeah, in the limited role, doing really what he did very well. And me and Sal have talked about this a lot. Like, the value they got for him at a fourth-round pick is incredibly commendable.
Yeah.
They got a lot of value out of him.
People are a little too blind to that because it's easy to be angry instead of remember everything within context.
Yep. I will say, though, if he's brought back, I do think he's a good enough receiver to still be in the league. I think absolutely.
Yeah.
I wonder
if he's the fourth receiver on the depth chart, that's not bad.
But so on that, I already wonder what the Bills wide receiver depth chart slash target count, what have you, is going to look like. You had Gabe Davis in there. Number one, I already think with Elijah Moore, I am an Elijah Moore guy. We'll see about training camp, but going in, I'm very excited for him.
Right,
I already think someone like Curtis Samuel could be really fighting for his Bills career here. Even if he does not cut, just in terms of like how many targets are you really going to get? I think Moore could be that kind of guy. What does this depth chart look like if they add Gabe Davis? I agree, competition's never a bad thing. I also do wonder how much of a role he maybe has on these modern Bills, which is separation, quick hits, yak yards. They kind of feel like they don't really want to throw the deep ball as much as maybe all of us would really want them to. And that's what Gabe Davis was good at, was getting open down the field, sideline merchant. He was unbelievable, by the way, on the sideline. He was incredible.
Toe tapping.
Yeah.
Tons of times.
I wonder what his role would be. I think the Bills absolutely could find a way. Obviously, he'd been here for 4 years, but
I think it takes an injury for Davis to get scooped up by any team at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Heading into like your mini camps or your OTAs, like someone is doing something while working out in the offseason.
Pittsburgh could do it now.
Pittsburgh could do it now, yes. But also, I don't know their game plan anymore.
Tank for 26 when they host
the
draft.
They can't.
No.
Mike Tomlin signed a contract with the devil.
He's going to win at least 9 games.
He's getting 8 wins at minimum.
I don't see the talent on that team. They maybe could do it. We will see on all of that. That's going to do it for me and Derek. Again, today's show brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Bills rookie minicamp gets going at 12:30. Sal Capaccio will have you covered on social media. He'll also be joining Show Up on the Bulldog at 4 p.m. today to give his thoughts on that. But coming up after a quick timeout, Sabres Live, you're listening to WGR.